Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Cool. Let's just pray. Lord, I just pray that as we come to this scripture, that you will just open our hearts and minds, that you will speak into us afresh, that we may know more of who you are and who you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've had this wonderful privilege of sitting with this wonderful passage. Isn't it a beautiful, beautiful passage? 8 verses. But I tell you what, it's absolutely packed full of symbolism. It is absolutely amazing. And you just think about John as a writer, how incredible that is, really. He is just an amazing writer that just brings so many things together in a perfect way. And so I chose this picture because for me, it sort of sums up that whole passage of that oil being overflowing and that extravagant love. And so that's what we're going to focus on this morning. But before we do that, I want to do something a little bit different this morning. And so I want us to do a bit of an imagination, because that's where I've been going with this passage for the last couple of weeks. And so I want you to just close your eyes and just imagine that you're at that dinner party in Bethany. What's going on? This wonderful cacophony of sounds is how I imagine it, with everyone sharing and excited and wanting to hear what everyone's been doing. There's Lazarus there, newly raised from the dead. I'm sure people would have wanted to catch up with him. What's he been doing? What's Jesus been doing? Great sense of excitement. And there is Martha, as always, serving, doing what she loves best, how she shows her love. Where are you in this picture? Are you at the table? Are you perhaps serving with Martha? Are you just a bystander looking in? And as all this is going on, Mary comes in with this great jar, alabaster jar, full of pure nard. And as she takes off that lid, the smell just fills the room. It's a really amazing, beautiful smell. And she pours it out on Jesus' feet. And how does that make you feel? What are you remembering? What are you thinking? We'll come back to that at the end. What I want to look at now is the context. We can have the next. Rick gave me a hard time because he hadn't got a clue what I meant with this picture. But this picture, I just think so often with our with these passages, we have to actually understand the context in which they're written. In the and in this case, it's in the middle of the Gospel of John. And the purpose of John's Gospel is in its entirety to show who Jesus is. Yeah, right from the very beginning. You know, those beautiful words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Right from the beginning of creation, that's where Jesus was. So this whole story, this whole narrative is about what the whole of creation is all about. That's the enormity of this story that we have. These eight verses are placed in the midst of this story. Then, as we think about it, where else in the timeline of this narrative does it come? It's at Bethany. What happened in Bethany? We know Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus showed his abundant love for Nazareth. He wept when he knew he had died. And he raised him from the dead. He opened the tomb and the smell of death probably emanated out. Different smell from the one we have now in Bethany. Smells are very evocative. They're very powerful. They take us back to different situations and memories because the olfactory system, the smell system, is very close to our emotive system in the brain. And that's why I'm sure you've all got smell memories, as I call them. You know, memories that will take you back, transport you back to different situations. So here we are, we're in Bethany. We know that Christ has conquered death. We can see that because there's Lazarus in front of us sharing a meal with Jesus. Jesus has conquered death. And it's almost like that is the point of hope going forward into the story as it will continue. So if we think it was, 6 days from the Passover, that's what it said at the beginning of that passage. So here we are in Bethany, knowing that Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, going forward into what we would call Holy Week. Yeah, we go into that time. He will go straight from Bethany to ride on his donkey to enter Jerusalem. And the crowds will shout, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then they will go on and through and into the cross and through on into the resurrection. So we have this wonderful passage, this wonderful pictures that we have in this passage that points back, knowing who Jesus is, pointing forward to the journey he's going to go on, all wrapped up in this little 8 verses. So let's unpack these verses a little bit more. First, I want to look at Mary. This beautiful picture. How do we feel about that? With Jesus pouring out this oil over Jesus' feet and then wiping it with her hair. What an amazing, intimate picture. Now, this oil that she's using here was worth a year's salary, a whole year's salary being poured out in this one instance. I tried to think of an equivalent, and the only thing I could think of was when I was priest in Ashurst, there was this farmer who gave off a block of land. It's up in Camargo. If you ever go up that way, it's up in the Bohongana Valley. And he gave this land to the church. And then he used his whole year's wool clip to build the church. And that sort of felt an equivalence, you know? A whole year's worth being poured out in love. What an amazing picture. What we know is when people were anointed in the Jewish traditions, what were they being anointed for? Anyone know? Huh? King. They would anoint their kings and they would anoint their priests. So in so doing, what Mary's doing here is she is anointing him as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, High Priest. You know, she is saying very clearly who he is. What an amazing picture. But at the same time, what does Jesus do? First thing I think is just so beautiful is he accepts this wonderful gift. He doesn't berate her for having wasted all this money. He thanks her. He accepts this amazing gift. But he also points for another reason for being anointed, which was for his burial. He's pointing towards his death. So here we have him as anointed as King, Priest, Messiah, Savior, but also going towards his death to the cross. She's preparing him for the cross. So again, amazing images, eh? Next picture, because it also points forward. What does it point forward to? What's this a picture of? Points forward to that Last Supper where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. In the same way that she poured out that oil, he poured out his love and his service to his disciples and through them to us. And not only did he wash their feet, but he poured out his life and his blood for us. That amazing, extravagant love poured out for us on the cross. So again, that pointing forwards, pointing back. Some amazing pictures. And then you've got this wonderful, lovely picture of love, haven't you? And then what do we have? Almost cutting through it like a knife. Next picture. Judas. And I was just sharing with Chris earlier that the first sermon I ever had to preach on was Judas. We were doing a series on characters around the cross and I ended up getting Judas. And I'd wrestled with it and I did lots of research on it. And in the end, I wanted to paint him as not too bad. I think because, you know, sometimes it's too harsh to actually accept that in ourselves. And so I painted him that, you know, basically he was just trying to force Jesus' hand to declare who he was and, you know, all of this. And then as I read this passage, you can't escape it. It's very clear. John says he was a thief. He was taken from the money bag. Isn't it funny how it's money? Money is such a powerful thing. And so, yes, we have this picture of Judas. And I wonder how he felt when he was in that room that we've been in this morning. I think he was embarrassed to see that love being poured out. I think he would have felt, oh, goodness, you know, I can't cope with this. It's making me feel really uncomfortable. And that's why he said, you know, no, he should have been giving it to the poor. Sort of justifying his own beliefs and understanding where he was sitting with it all. And then I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, yeah, and again, this points forward. It points forward to the fickleness of our human nature, where we can shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, at Palm Sunday. and crucify him on Good Friday. The stark contrast of these two things in this passage is pointing forward to the journey that we are journeying on in Lent through Holy Week to the cross and then on to resurrection. But it places us with lots to think about. So I have the next one. And I would have changed this slightly, but I didn't have the time. I just want you to think about where you were when we did that imaginary exercise. Were you with Lazarus? Were you with Mary? Were you with Martha? Were you looking in? Did it make you feel a bit uncomfortable, or did you just get wrapped up in the wonderful perfume that permeated the room? Because I think as we can journey on through Palm Sunday and then into Holy Week, we can reflect on where we are in these stories. Because I'm sure that, for me anyway, there are times when I'm like Mary and I'm pouring out my love. But there's also times where I'm a bit worried that, you know, maybe we haven't quite got enough. Or feeling a bit embarrassed when actually some people are sort of so overboard, we might think, with their expression of love for Jesus. Think about that as we continue the journey, as we go through Palm Sunday, shouting our hosannas. And as we approach Good Friday, crucify him. Think about this as we journey forward. Going back to the smells, I think are very emotive. And as I was thinking about it, when I gave the same sermon on Thursday, slightly different, but I thought, for me, a very powerful, evocative smell is the anointing oil. And I know that when I have anointed people as they're dying, even if they're not conscious, often that smell will take them to that place, remind them that Jesus is with them and will walk with them. And so I talked to Chris and we decided that as part of the after communion, that if people would like, we will anoint with oil. Take that smell with you on in the journey of Holy Week. Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who knows us through and through. And yet your abundant and extravagant love is constantly being poured out for us on the cross. Journey with us for Palm Sunday and through Holy Week, that we may know your extravagant love for us, even as we walk that journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen.